Hello there, this is Bane. When I'm not out on the streets of Gotham hunting the Batman, I find myself listening to Part-Time Fanboy on a regular basis. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at www.parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on the Twitter. Do it now, or I'll have to do something awful to your spine.
So this is Part-Time Fanboy. I'm Christian. I'm here with Ian and Paul, and we're in the same room.
Wow.
How awesome.
How weird is this?
Yeah. I know. It's weird. We added Paul this time, and we're not in the garage. We're in the actual room. So that's good. Mark Maron can rest easy that we're not stealing.
Right. We're taking it to another level.
Yeah,
then.
We're going to a room.
We're moving inside.
Yeah, inside. So I guess we've been wanting to do this for what, a month?
Pretty much.
We've been wanting to do a Bond podcast, a James Bond podcast, or just talk about Skyfall, which has, at this point, been out for almost a month. So it shows you how on top of things we are.
People are still watching it.
I guess. It's making tons of money. It made like over $30 million like last weekend. So
I just watched the behind the scenes of the train sequence online. It's fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where did you see that?
FX.
Oh, FX.
FX something, some website.
Oh, really?
FX Pro.
They've been putting out quite a few behind-the-scenes things since it's come out, and they're all really interesting
Amazing.
To watch.
FX Pro? You got to send me
that. I have to send you a link. It's called, like, FX something. It's just like this website.
Yeah.
In multiple videos. In the B-roll.
Oh, really?
Of them shooting that whole train sequence.
That's awesome.
Great.
Okay, why don't we just get to Skyfall? Like what? So why don't we start with you guys? What did you guys think?
Oh, I just loved it. It was a good time from beginning to end.
Did you love it? Loved it.
Absolutely, absolutely. It reminded me of everything that I wanted a James Bond movie to be, and that's the exotic locations that are shot beautifully.
Yeah.
And it had some great action sequences, not a whole bunch, but you know, it had enough, and you know, it felt a little long, you know.
It's 20 minutes too long in my opinion.
But you know, for me, it never really wore out its welcome. I enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite modern Bonds.
Well, yeah, but look at what you're comparing it to.
Of course, we're comparing it to. But I mean, but what's nice though for me is it felt like a real return to form for the series from the older movies. You know, for a while, you know, like, you know, if you compare it to liquor, you know, Bond movies ought to be your top shelf stuff.
Right.
And you know, basically the Brosnan years and the Dalton years, they looked just like every other action movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this felt like a return to, like, the Bond movies being, like, an event this time.
Yeah, I kind of got that with Casino Royale. I don't fully agree because I feel like... I got a lot of problems, but you talk first. I liked it.
It had all the right pieces to me, and it felt like a Bond movie, and I haven't felt that way since Casino Royale. And there were things in there that did seem, I don't know, like I was questioning some of the choices, but I don't know. That scene where they're fighting at the top of the building in Shanghai, I'm like, this is... I just thought it was stellar.
And it was really nice.
And I think the song, like I know you had mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the song, like, it just seemed like it had the right pieces, and it felt,
yeah,
it just felt really consistent for what a Bond movie should be. And I'm glad it came out, because I couldn't find anything to watch, honestly.
Like, you, you mean in the mean? Theaters?
In the theaters. And I'm like, at least I know I could go to this and get, like, just a great Bond experience. And I think they nailed it, man.
Yeah, I liked it. And I really liked it. I think it's a really great movie, but it did not blow me away. I mean, my expectations were high going into this.
Sure.
And I was really excited. Unlike other people, I liked Quantum of Solace.
I can't remember
anything from it.
I really like. I remember liking it, but it's been so long. Yeah. It's been like two or three. I can't remember a lot of Casino Royale, except for the fact that I really liked it, and he got hit in the nuts a lot. You know what I mean?
That torture scene? Yeah.
How do you survive that?
No.
He's like the strongest man in the world.
I was wondering that, too, because that just looked like the wicker chair without the wicker in it. What sicko thinks that of?
Oh my god. Not only that, but I was literally...
You remember how Jaws had metal teeth?
I
remember watching that scene in that movie.
Oh boy.
And thinking, is what's happening right now? Like, is he...
How do you defend that?
Like, how do you... Right. Like, in a James Bond movie? Like, how is this...
Right.
This is pretty... This is pretty raunchy.
Right.
You know, I think I figured... one of the reasons Quantum of Solace probably gets a little bit of a grief is because... To me, at the time, it felt a little bit more like a Bourne movie than a Bond movie.
Really?
Yeah.
But so did Casino Royale, like that opening scene where
they did the parkour and stuff like that. But you know, the thing is that they're really with this movie in particular. I feel like they've sort of like hit their stride in terms of like, okay, this is going to be the way. We're going to do a Bond movie going forward.
I hope so. Oh, I hope not.
No, I hope not.
With this movie?
Yeah.
With Casino Royale, I thought, like, this is how I hope they go from here on in.
Yeah.
Like, and Quantum of Solace, I kind of felt really kind of kept going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't blow it out of the water. It didn't go any further. But this one, I just thought that he's lost a lot of his charm. He's not as suave as he used to be. They're really... okay, let me go back to the beginning because it's like, I got to break it down. Break it down. The action sequence for me is... The beginning is great. Like that whole train sequence and, you know, take the shot and all this stuff. And I think that they started really big with this movie.
Sure.
And then... It became which my wife was actually the one who pointed this out. It became very much like a straight drama with like little bits of action like inserted here and there. So I felt like they started very big. And the thing about the Bond movies that's always been great to a certain extent, maybe not always in the beginning, because if you watch Dr. No, I watched it like a couple of years ago, it's not as, you know, big in scope or like it's very slow. Like, but it's fine. It's fine for what it is. But I feel like the Bond things, the great thing about them was always the big sort of set pieces. So you had that train sequence, and then nothing really huge followed that for me. Like as far as
until
like action,
fight. Until the Shanghai fight.
Well, the Shanghai fight is good, but it's very short. It's like it's set in silhouette. Like I didn't think there was any big like huge stunt moments in that, and that's kind of what I really liked about a lot of Bond growing up and you know, even Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, like there were a lot of big like action set pieces beyond the beautiful locations and beyond the Bond girls and stuff like that. There was always a couple of, and I felt that they really started out big and then the rest of it just didn't go. And then as you go through the movie, okay, like the Bond has never made sense. Like, let's just say that. Like, he's a fantasy figure. But can we agree that as of Casino Royale, they've been kind of trying to ground it in reality a bit more?
Absolutely.
Because of the Bourne movies, right? Because the Bourne movies were kind of more intense.
Daniel Craig, too.
Yeah. But whatever direction, they're trying to ground it a little more in the real world. There's no Spectre. There's no big gadgets. There's no... So I feel
this one, for sure.
I feel like in this one, there were just so many things that just didn't make sense to me. Like... The one big thing for me is like Bond is not really that successful at anything he does in this movie. Like, in the beginning, he can't get the hard drive back, and he gets shot, and then he just kind of, like, drops out. Sure. And then he comes back, and then he meets the slave trade girl, you know, in the casino or whatever, and he says he's going to protect her life, and he literally, he literally waits till after she gets shot in the head to take out the bad guys. He could have done it 5 seconds before.
Bond would never do that.
Bullshit! In every other movie, he's always done that.
He got to tag her on the boat. He had sex with her on the boat.
What does that have to do with it?
Mission accomplished for Bond.
Oh my god!
And then he moved
on. So then
he's
the worst kind of scum because he made her a promise.
Yeah, but
that's Bond.
That's Bond.
Yeah, but he's not done that.
What do you mean?
There's no.
I don't know.
I think to a degree, the Bond girl has always been just sort of a way to get through to the villain.
That's right.
Well, sure, but he never, like, let them get toasted all that much. Or
Goldfinger.
Maybe there was one. Yeah, Goldfinger, okay. But I just but he was not in Goldfinger in a position to, like, stop the death. Like, she's standing right there. Come on, guys. No, she's standing right there and they're gonna shoot her. They shoot her, and then he does
what's
it.
What's he gonna do with her then? Once, you know, like, what if
the helicopter show up and the British government takes her home, and she has a happy rest of her life working in an office somewhere?
I think he did it perfect.
No, man,
but then they wouldn't
horrible.
Have gotten to use that line about a terrible waste of liquor.
Oh, Jesus, that's just ridiculous.
But you
I'm
have to
sorry.
See how sick Bardem is too, because he just shoots her.
Well,
Bond
yeah.
needs to give him that edge. It's the same thing Thanos. They did the Thanos in Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, no, man. No. This is Bond. No. Bond is in a perfect place to stop her from getting killed.
He hit that on the boat.
But it's not about that.
Yes,
it's about, like,
it
he made. No, because he made her a promise earlier on. He said, I will get you out.
He's on a mission.
So, yeah,
it's not her. She's not the mission.
Yeah, she's not the mission, but why does he... He could have stopped it right in the beginning.
He makes promises.
He doesn't care.
Forever. It's not... She's not an auxiliary.
No, man.
Okay,
so let's move beyond
let's
that.
Move beyond
he's not good at that. M gets killed. Spoiler. Sorry, hope you haven't seen the movie.
Well, they had some time.
He doesn't even stop M from getting killed.
He can't.
Like, he's terrible. He's a terrible agent. They were right.
Yeah.
Like, he should not
he's
have been let back in the field.
He's washed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's not good at anything in this movie to me. I don't think, like I think that he's...
bad Bond.
He's bad. He's not good at anything. He's not good at anything. He doesn't stop anything. Like, he's basically following the plot, which Bond is always doing, right? But at least in the other Bond movies, even Casino Royale, okay... Quantum of Solace, that guy dies who's like his friend, and he finds him in the trunk of the... But he's not a complete failure. And in this movie, to me, Bond...
But you still hit that on the boat.
He did, dude.
He had success there. He had success.
All right. If the movie is Secret Agent and has sex with
the
hot woman...
The iguana scene, he beat up... You know,
he didn't even beat the guy up. He got dragged off by the iguana. All right.
Because
he wasn't paying attention. There's no point, like, where Bond...
What about the Chinese scene in the tower? He didn't win that? No, because the guy got shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, come on! No, okay, so let's forget that, okay?
That's not part of his
You guys
mission.
Aren't going to agree with me on that.
Probably
okay, fine.
Not.
No, but
I do think that that's funny, though, because
it's
like, it's almost the subtitle, James Bond's Least Successful Adventure.
Yeah, it really is! And then, okay, so let's forget about that. Let's talk about how he gets, shows up, and he's like, I'm back. And they analyze him, and they say, oh no, this guy's a mess. Like, physically he's not capable, mentally he's not capable, physically he's not capable. Look at the guy.
Yeah.
No, come on, look at the guy. He's pretty capable. I don't care. I got something stuck in my teeth.
He had no stamina. He just could drink.
Are you kidding me?
He was out of shape.
What kind of shape? He was not out of shape.
He looked awful.
He should have said Daniel
Pull. He's just holding the hook. He's like,
they should have said Daniel Craig. Take a couple of weeks off from exercising.
Right.
Maybe
right.
get a little gut for those scenes.
Sure.
And then I believe it. He's like in excellent shape.
Or
makeup.
They could have put something.
Well,
there,
they could have given him a little paunch. He goes off drinking.
Didn't do that.
They didn't do that.
No.
So that's like my other thing. And then the big thing with like Javier Bardem is I was a little uncomfortable with the, like, sort of, like, Bond tied up in the chair, like, Javier Bardem is, like, hitting on him. Sure. I'm like, really? Do we have to go down, like, the evil, stereotypical, sort of, like, gay character? Like, to me, that was just so lame. I thought that was just, like, why does he have to be, like...
I didn't see it as him being gay, though. I saw it as him trying to unnerve... Yeah. Bond.
Oh, really? Yeah. Because I just thought that they were trying to play him off as sort of like a freak. And I'm like, but why does the only gay character in there be like a freak?
He's a freak, but, you know, he had the girl. I mean, the girl was his girl and everything. He didn't seem...
Yeah, but they never insinuated that they were like in a real relationship, did they? I mean, she could have just been a girl, like a slave.
She was a whore, I mean.
Yeah.
I just thought it was him trying to...
He's just trying to creep him out.
To throw Bond off and, like, sort of get inside his head. And the idea that, you know, frankly, that Bond has never been, like, strictly heterosexual, that's great.
Well, I don't know if they actually say that. He says, like, playing with him.
He's English. He went to English schools. Come on.
But then, okay, so Javier Bardem...
Right.
Then they capture him.
Capture Harvey of our
They capture
They put him in like a
spoiler.
A they contraption. Put him in a Hannibal Lecter
thing.
Okay.
Almost like the Avengers.
They capture
thing,
him
too, on the ship.
And he has the
circular glass.
Yeah. Right. The lovely little scene where he pulls the plate out of his head.
Right. I'm creepy than more creepy than you
yeah,
think
I'm
I am.
Creepy, yeah, I'm more creepy
Beyond
than you
creepy.
Think I am.
I tried to kill
so
myself.
So they let him have the metal plate that he has in his head. They didn't frisk
him. No one
him.
Said wait.
They didn't
a minute,
scan him. They didn't say like, oh, he's got this metal plate in his head. Maybe we should remove that. Okay, and then he gets away, he escapes, and they don't have, I don't care about how he escapes, whatever, that's fine. What I'm talking about is that this dude is the most dangerous terrorist since Osama bin Laden, okay, and there goes my phone. That's Doctor Who.
We never get that with,
never get that with
the when we're on
that's
the,
awesome.
How do I stop this?
In real life.
You don't want to, just, you could take that, put,
no,
put it on the air.
Oh, it just started playing. It was in my pocket. All right, I'll cut that out. No, okay, so this is the most dangerous terrorist since Osama bin Laden, okay?
Absolutely.
We can agree that this guy is, like, horrible for the British government. They don't put a tracker, a subdermal tracker
nothing.
In his skin.
Nothing.
They don't put ankle bracelet on him.
Nothing.
They have him in the room with one guard, one schleppy guard.
That's it.
And that's it.
And he's getting minimum wage.
And he's getting that. And the guard is like, whatever. He makes like one comment, like, oh, what's your problem?
Right.
Like, gives him a line to get into SAG. Like give that actor a line to get into SAG. My point is that this guy escapes, and they have no way of tracking him.
No.
They didn't plant him with a microchip.
M was at the end of her...
She's got to be the most incompetent bitch in the history
of...
No, come on!
That's why we're replacing her.
Right. That's why Ray Fiennes is
there. And then there's an explosion. In the subway system.
Absolutely.
A huge explosion.
Yeah.
What would happen if there was an explosion in the subway system and they were having a meeting with the head of the CIA? If there's an explosion in the subway system in Washington, D.C., and there's a hearing with the head of the CIA, what happens? Everything gets shut down. They were just like having their meeting.
Yeah.
They were
very
like,
loose,
la, 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 la.
Very loose
nobody came in and walked over and whispered in anybody's ear.
Right.
Like nobody, like it's so much of that just like
very loose.
It's very loose,
security,
and it's there's just like little things that can be done to fix that script, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that they let a lot of those things go. Now, despite all that, because I know that I get riled up and everything, and we're in person now, so I feel like I could get more riled up than yelling into the headset. But
it's good.
But
you have more room.
The whole thing is, I liked the movie.
Right.
And people are like, wow, this guy liked a movie? What does he do when he doesn't like a movie? I'll tell you what happens. I get up and start screaming at the screen.
In the theater.
So those are like my big things where it's just like, come on. And there's a difference in tone between, like, you guys are going to go nuts when I say this, but, or maybe not.
I might go nuts.
I liked Mission Impossible 4 more than I liked this movie.
I could see that.
Because Mission Impossible 4, it kind of went back to, even though I can't stand Tom Cruise, I'm not a Tom Cruise fan, I don't like Tom Cruise, he bugs the hell out of me,
mm-hmm.
he freaks me out, he's a swarmy smile or whatever. What I really thought they did great in Mission Impossible was go back to those ridiculous Bonds a little bit with the crazy stunts and the the wacky charm and the like little kind of crazy death traps and stuff. Like, I felt that they started off good, and they had that middle piece where Tom Cruise is climbing the side of that building.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they had that garage where all the cars are falling. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous, but they've set the tone as being ridiculous. Right. Whereas with Skyfall, they set the tone as being serious, and then it just like gets... It just gets... The holes in the plot get bigger and bigger and bigger, to me,
but
in my opinion.
I feel that Skyfall left it in a place, though, now, where...
You could
rebuild. Sort of the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it really felt like they were sort of... I mean... I hope Craig comes back for another one. It would be great. I feel like he's got another couple.
Easy.
I think he signed off for two more,
So, but it almost felt almost like the end of sort of closing out that little period of, you know, it's almost like the transition from the Brosnan years is complete, which is where Judi Dench, you know, started.
Yeah, right.
It felt like, okay, we're closing that M out. We're bringing in a new M. We've got a new Q.
Yeah.
You know, we've got. It's absolutely. Like, okay. It felt like
Penny.
It felt like this whole movie was a little bit of like sort of wiping the slate clean and like, okay, the next Bond is going to be, and even now they're moving away from the Ian Fleming titles and the books and things like that. So like the next Bond is really going to be sort of like a new start.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. Like I said, I didn't hate it. I actually kind of want to see it again because I think there's definitely a part of me that had expectations, and then I get into it and I'm like, like, you know, so, but like I said, I just felt like it's really funny because people keep saying, oh, it was really big, and I'm like, I didn't get that. I felt it was a little too small for Bond. I felt like it was a little too, like, I just felt like
I think that's what the point was, though. It was supposed to deconstruct itself. Look how it ended.
Yeah.
It ended most Bond movies begin.
And with a knife fight? Like a knife?
Yeah, yeah.
That was the whole point, I think. I loved some of the cinematography at the end.
That
definitely house burning and...
Definitely a step up bringing Roger Deakins in because this is the first time that they've had an Oscar-level cinematographer since You Only Live Twice.
That makes huge difference.
Well, it looks gorgeous, and Sam Mendes is a great director. But well, that's the other thing, the scene towards the end. I mean, he's like, I'm going to take you... He takes her to this fucking mansion in the middle of nowhere.
That's his home.
He hasn't been there since he left. They say that. And it's the most unsecure place. Why didn't Javier Bardem come with the helicopter and just start shooting rockets into the place?
He wanted to see him die.
I know he did. But it makes no sense. It's just like, come on. You know,
there's some
just...
funny stuff. My one buddy who I talked to, he said, so it's Home Alone Bond. At the end. And Home Alone. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And then we were joking that, you know, the fucking old man jackass gets out of the thing with a flashlight.
Yeah, seriously, shut off the flashlight.
That was a little, but you're like, guy, you know, he's an old guy. I mean,
here's the last thing, and I guess this is from the books. Like, he's Bruce Wayne. I mean, James Bond is basically Bruce Wayne. He was rich kid, parents died, and instead of, like, going off on his, like, vengeance, dressing up as a bat, he got recruited by MI6 or whatever. And he's got, like, his little Alfred watching the house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was just like, come on. Like, I mean, I don't know if that's... I know that in the last Fleming book is where they got into his... backstory, but I haven't read any of the Fleming books, so
they had said that
I'm
he's
dying
from
to
this,
read them.
You know, thing.
Yeah, he's Scottish and all that stuff, and which I found really interesting. But I felt like it really slowed the climax down for me. Like I felt the climax slowed down.
Sure.
Why didn't they do this in the middle of the movie or something like that? Have the bag. I think that they could have really picked up the pace by like bringing up doing all the stuff that they did in the first three quarters of the movie into like the first. Maybe like whatever half hour 40 and then going into the personal stuff and then having a really big climax again at the end.
Alright, let's talk about like where our expectations come from. What is your favorite Bond movie?
Mine is Her Majesty's Secret Service. That's like my favorite one.
Why?
I love that one. Well, because it's the first time that they ever kind of got into Bond like emotionally, and it's George Lazenby who really got a bad rap. I actually met George Lazenby on a film shoot once, and he was talking about his experience, and And this was a very long time ago when I was still acting, and he happened to be visiting a friend, and it was like, holy cow, George Lazenby, you know? And he was like, yeah, I was like selling cars, man. And then all of a sudden I'm like James Bond, you know, or he was doing something. I don't know if exactly selling cars, I can't remember, but for some reason I seem to remember him saying I was like selling cars, and then all of a sudden I'm James Bond. And then everybody got on him because he was American and he wasn't British, and he was playing an American, a British icon. And yeah, you know, and he was an American actor, which is like, hello, like we've gone full circle, Batman and Superman, right?
Right.
But Her Majesty's, and it also has
Diana Rigg
in it, and it's just like you can watch it now, and it's definitely going to be hokey, and it's definitely not going to play to modern sensibilities. But it was the first time I'd ever seen Bond where I was like, hey, wait a minute, you know, like they're getting into. I'd known that he was married because when I was a little kid, I saw For Your Eyes Only, and mm-hmm. the opening scene is Roger Moore visiting his wife's grave. And I remember being a little kid and being blown away. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. Who is this Bond woman? Like, he was married or whatever? And so, but that was, I remember seeing that on TV and maybe renting it on DVD or something and having never seen it and just really liking where they went with it. And then after, another spoiler, you know, obviously he's not still married, she gets offed, you know, him going like, fuck it, like all bets are off, like right. now I'm right. you know. So that's my favorite. What are your guys' favorites?
To tell you the truth, I don't think I ever sat down and like watched a full Bond until Royale.
Oh really?
So and Roger, what's this guy's name?
Roger
Daniel
Miller?
Daniel Craig feels like, you know, he's, I identify with like him the most as being Bond because I feel like I kind of started with him.
Yeah.
I've watched scenes though from all of them because my buddy Nate, who I told you guys about, we would just sit there and analyze. He would just show me fight scenes from Bond and we just talk about the way they shot the fighting. I love the way they shoot the fighting in some of those Sean Connery ones.
Yeah.
Where it's just super choppy. But you still see the action happen.
Yeah.
And it's loud, and it's noisy, and it's aggressive, and it's like this. Just a great. It's great from the actor's side. It's great from the editorial side, even more.
Yeah.
So I've watched all these clips. There was the one scene where he was in like a moonwalker or something, or a moon buggy,
is that
just
Moonraker?
Driving through stuff. I think it was still on Earth, but he was just blasting through barns, and like we would just rewind that scene, you know, watch that. But I identify with this Bond the most, and that's probably why I even liked Skyfall a lot, because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, you know, it's another chapter in this, and now I could really follow it. Because the other ones, I mean, I didn't watch Pierce Brosnan's, man, I couldn't.
I saw we like turn, the first
we turned
two,
those
maybe.
On, it was to laugh,
yeah,
you know, and it,
yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, I feel like Brosnan got the job because everyone thought, like, he's the guy for the job,
yeah,
because he was the only Englishman that they knew at the time.
Right.
You know? No, I think Brosnan, well, we could get into that whole thing, but, I mean, I don't want to, like, interrupt Paul's choice, but, like, Brosnan got screwed, man. He really got screwed, and it's really funny because we talked about
yeah.
this,
yeah.
and you were laughing at me. You're like, don't feel bad for Brosnan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I do feel bad for Brosnan because Brosnan, he was perfect for Bond. Like,
sure.
When Remington Steele, like, when that show was on, his star was rising.
Yeah.
And Remington Steele got canceled.
Yeah.
But from what I remember reading back then, because I liked Remington Steele as a kid, and then when the rumor got out that, like, he was going to be Bond,
mm-hmm.
like, I remember everyone being excited and, like, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening was the show got canceled, but in the contract, he was still contracted for like two or three Remington Steele TV movies, and they didn't know if they were going to make them or whatever, and he went to the producers of the Remington Steele movie, and this could all be inaccurate, this is
sure.
just how I remember it. He went to the producers and said, will you let me out of the contract so I can do Bond? Because the Bond
right.
producers didn't want him doing Remington Steele, like
right.
didn't want him doing anything else.
Right.
And they said, no, F you, you know, you're Remington Steele. We can't do these movies without you.
Right.
So
he came into it late. Is that?
Well, he was going to be Bond, and right. then Timothy Dalton stepped in when
right.
Brosnan when, was going to take over.
When Moore stepped out.
Yeah, when right. Moore stepped out, and that was like the perfect time for Brosnan to step in.
Honestly, Brosnan, I feel the story they just did could have been Brosnan from like the second one, because he came in fat for that. Do you remember? Well, they were like trying to hide his tummy with these long
shirts.
Well,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, so two movies go by, years go by, mm-hmm. and then it's like, I don't know if Dalton stepped out or they just didn't think he was making the box office or whatever. And then it was like, hey, let's go to Pierce Brosnan again.
Right.
And by then it's like, oh, really? Okay. Right. Well, it's a paycheck, you know. Sure, I'll do it. They haven't been that great. And I don't think he was terrible, to tell you the honest truth. I liked Brosnan.
But again, it's like during that era, like, they just weren't anything special.
Yeah, you're right.
They were just product that they put out. And
I saw
one or two of the Brosnan ones in the theater, you know, because it's Bond.
Sure.
But I just never... I remember walking away from them feeling very disappointed and, you know, like, they really felt formulaic and I didn't enjoy them.
Yeah.
Now, the movie that I did enjoy the best, You Only Live Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
James Bond leading ninjas into battle. Come on.
It's been a long time since I've seen that one.
I need to see that again.
Roald Dahl wrote the screenplay.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just, it's a fantastic, you know... It's got a bunch of those great set pieces that you were talking about.
The big warehouse where there's like, they're coming down.
In the volcano, they're coming down on the ropes.
That
and the,
is awesome. That is awesome.
It's got the beautiful set pieces. It's, you know, it's very, I feel like in a way it's sort of like the perfect one of the, you know, sort of Connery movies. I know a lot of people really like Goldfinger a lot. I love Goldfinger a lot too.
Yeah,
but
like,
for me, You Only Live Twice is the one that when I think of a Bond movie, that's the one I always think of.
Is that the first one you saw? Or is it...
No, it's not the first one I saw. The first one I saw was Live and Let Die.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Live and Let Die is...
Roger Moore. And it's the one... It's set in Louisiana. It's in the...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that with... What's-Your-Face? Jane Seymour? Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
It gets a little silly, like with the sheriff and
stuff.
Yeah,
it's a little ridiculous. But it also does have the best Bond theme song.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, up to this... I think the Adele theme song is great. I saw Moonraker first in the theater. And that is an awful movie. But it really is. But for a little kid sitting in the theater with all that space thing, and Jaws is in that one. Is that the first Jaws?
Like, no, he comes Jaws, back. Jaws was in The Spy Who Loved Me.
The Spy Who Loved
right
Me. But he was in Moonraker too, right? So they brought him back. And there was all that crazy like space shuttle stuff. And I remember that he gets trapped in the trainer that swings around and around. And it's like, that was all very dramatic to me. And I think I saw it like a couple of years ago on TV and I was like, wow, this is really not good.
Yeah. The Moore movies became really sort of increasingly silly.
Yeah.
But I actually really like Roger Moore.
You know, I do
like
too. I think he's underrated.
I think that he is sort of the underrated Bond because he never, you know, phoned it in. And he definitely had the charm
factor. Definitely. Mm-hmm. And he was, he delivered for what they were. Like, he was good looking. And he was charming, and he had that sense of humor, you know what I mean? Which is one of the things that I think Craig lacks a little bit.
I feel like it really started to come through in the new movie, though.
Yeah.
I feel like in Skyfall that humor is real, like sort of the sort of really dry, understated humor, especially in the scenes where he's talking with the Eve, the operative from the beginning. You know, particularly in those scenes that it's more of a dry, almost defeatist humor.
Yeah.
But it did start to come through a little more than it did in Casino Royale, and certainly in Quantum of Solace, which is a pretty dark movie.
I remember Roger Moore was my first, and I liked him for a long time, but my favorite is I still like Sean Connery.
Yeah.
There's something about him that just, like, he's a balance between like the Roger Moore and sort of the Craig, you know. I mean, they're very, he's like the perfect balance. He's like suave but not too not cheesily suave. Yeah. He's kind of hard, like he doesn't fuck around, you know what I mean? Like all these things. So I think that he to me, I could still watch a Sean Connery and just like really just dig him, because he's, I don't know, he's just like a dude's dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Roger Moore, yeah, and what about Timothy Dalton? I mean, like, do you know?
He was rough.
Yeah.
He was doing, like, violent stuff with the women. I remember watching it, And I told my buddy, I'm like, he's crazy. He's just like beating these girls up, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It was totally different side of Bond. I don't think I'd ever see.
I think he was a little too one note. I think that's the problem. Right.
Yeah, and those scripts, unfortunately, I remember them just not being very
compelling. Mean. I mean, he was mean.
It's like, interesting. Mean yeah, Bond. Yeah. Like, but it's interesting because the first one, I remember liking the Living Daylights, right?
Right.
Which, like, hello, the theme song to the Living Daylights. Aha. How do you go from Duran Duran to Aha? And like the Living Daylights, Aha, were they big in Europe? I mean, I don't know. I just feel like that was going to be like the big new Bond, and they went with Aha to write the theme and perform. But it seems like I remember liking the Living Daylights kind of when I saw it, like being pissed off that Pierce Brosnan wasn't getting. I was like, fanboy. Pierce Brosnan is not going to be mine. I'm so pissed. All right, forget it. Sitting there like with my arms crossed and, you know, whatever. And then, whatever, being fine with it and, you know, not being like, he sucks, you know. And then I think that the first, I liked GoldenEye when I saw it. I thought it was, oh, this was fun. And I liked it. It seems like the first ones, they really pull it out. And then they seem to dissolve into like a formula for whatever actor that they find.
Right.
So I hope that with Daniel Craig, is that Harry Potter? Which,
no,
Daniel Craig. Yeah. it's been a long day. Yeah, I think with him, I hope they don't fall into the formula because I feel like this is the third movie and they're already like, he's so tortured. He's so, like, Casino Royale was like rebooting the whole thing and he's like fresh and he's inexperienced and now he's already tired.
The next one will be more like Casino Royale. That's just my bet.
And it's interesting too because I feel like now the nice thing is too is that they do tend to bring a different creative team to each Bond. Whereas before, you know, I mean, it was very... Bond's sort of a notoriously tightly controlled product by the Broccoli family. And I feel like now there's a little more freedom for them to experiment and to bring on different creative teams where, you know, now you'll get like a Sam Mendes Bond.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, I don't know.
I'm surprised Nolan hasn't done one. Quite frankly.
Oh, God, please, Nolan away from James.
Which one did he do?
Nolan did one. It's called Inception.
It's called Batman, whatever.
No, I'm serious. I'm surprised they didn't ask him to do one.
He was probably busy, I mean.
Oh, did you hear how Sam Mendes pretty much got this one?
No.
It was a really great story. It's that Daniel Craig had worked, I guess, with Sam Mendes on, what was the one with Tom Hanks, the gangster one.
Oh, Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition. Yeah. And so they ran into each other at a party and they were talking about, you know, they just started talking about how are you doing, you know, like what's the Bond movie thing going? And they started talking about, and the more they started talking about the Bond thing, Daniel Craig was like, man, you know, you should direct this. I mean, this is really good. Then, you know, and Sam Mendes seemed, you know, like kind of excited. He's like, well, I'd really liked something like that. And then Daniel Craig went home and like sort of slept on it and like woke up the next morning and was like, holy shit, what did I just offer the director to Sam Mendes? So he actually called the Broccoli family and was like, you know, like, dude, I may have fucked up here, you know, I offered this job. And then, you know, once he said it, they were like, Sam Mendes, huh, that might work. Pretty much was just sort of a random intersection of events, but you know, that's I would love to see different directors and different creative teams, but bringing the A-list people to Bond.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's what it needs to be. Bond needs to be the top shelf liquor, not the PBR. PBR is not bad, but you know, it's not Bond.
Yeah. I also think there's something to be said for the new up and comers. Like if you could get like a Fincher, like when he was younger, you know, not really, because you know. You can get an A-list name to do something, but sometimes their heart might not be... You know what I'm saying? It's like you got to make sure that it's the right dude for the job. So, I don't, did you guys ever read the books?
I read Casino Royale and a couple of the others, but it's been a long time ago. I think I would have been like 16 or 17 when I read them.
Yeah. I never read the book. I want to read them. But have you read the comic books? Like the comics? They started coming out with collections like Titan Books. I used to, I reviewed several of them for like Ain't It Cool, and they're doing like these omnibus editions of the newspaper strips.
Oh, nice.
And they are really, really fun.
I'm going to have to take a look at that, because I really like newspaper strip as a comic form. They're really entertaining.
Yeah, well, it's funny because this is the first newspaper strip that I sat down seriously to read. And I wasn't really into like newspaper strip comics. I always thought they were limited and confined. Oh, actually, yeah, they sent me Modesty Blaze stuff before that. And that's what made me flip, because I was like, oh, now that they're all here like in one volume, they're great. And the James Bond, they start off with adaptations of Ian Fleming novels, but then the guy who adapts them, he goes off on his own and writes his own stories, and those are almost better than the Ian Fleming adaptations, because at that point he's like, screw it, I can go on my own and do my own like James Bond stories. And they're not like too complex or whatever, but they're really good. And there's this guy, his name is Horak. He takes over the art chores like once you get to the second volume, and he's very much like, he reminds me of Howard Chaykin, but not like a stiff.
Yeah.
And years before Howard Chaykin was even like, you know, this was in the 60s. And his art is awesome. It's like, I love it. I love the style of it. So if you ever get a chance to pick those up, I love them. I love those books. I wrote a review for one on our site like a while ago. So they're really good. You should definitely check those out. So I don't know. Any other thoughts about Bond?
Who would you guys pick for the next Bond? I already have a pick.
Well, I heard who they're talking to.
When Daniel Craig is done, I would totally pick Idris Elba.
That's who they're talking to.
That's what I heard. But I heard it after the, like, on the way home from the movie, I was talking to Heidi. I'm like, God, you know, if they could get Idris Elba to do it, it would totally work.
Yeah, but...
totally work.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big, big fan of, like, taking character that's... Yeah, but he's black. I mean, I have nothing against black people. But if you want to do an... Idris Elba's an amazing actor.
Oh, dude, he would kill.
Tyler Perry. He just did, like, an action movie, right? Like, so...
That Idris Elba probably should have done.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, obviously Tyler Perry was trying to build a brand. So why not get Idris Elba and give him his own badass spy thing, you know what I'm saying, and build on that instead of like just trying to fucking shoehorn him into James Bond.
I don't know, I'm shoehorning him in. The guy's a great actor.
He is a great actor.
He is British.
And yeah, he's British, but
go for it.
So are a lot of other people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it'd be cool to see.
That's who I've heard that they're talking
to.
Yeah, I've heard that they're talking to him, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, like, you know, the internet explosion of like, there's a black Spider-Man, you know, it's at that point, it's like, oh God, whatever, you know, just do whatever you're going to do. But I would be like a little bit like, you know, okay.
Well, it seems a little silly of them to have spent all this time building up this character's history like they've done over the last three movies and then just completely like sort of toss that out.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't fit with the character's history. If it was something
else...
He can't
be from Scotland?
He could be from Scotland, but I don't know, like, the old aristocratic, like, family, like, it just doesn't... I mean, it just doesn't jibe.
Jive, whatever.
No, I did not. See, now you're going to get
the name I'm hearing a lot is Michael Fassbender.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know.
I would not want to watch that.
But if it were up to
ladies would.
But if it were up to me,
Go ahead, please.
I would go with Arthur Darvill from the Doctor Who shows, the guy who plays Rory.
Get out of here! No way.
I'm serious. I am dead. I am honest to dead serious.
Why?
Go back and watch the last season and take
a look.
At it.
I didn't like it so much.
I'm not saying look at it. I'm saying look at him.
Give it a chance, Christian.
He's gonna have to work out.
Yes, he will.
Wait a second. Is he? Let me ask you this. Is he have more body fat than Michael Fassbender does?
I have no idea. He's thin.
Is he thinner than Fassbender? Just in your yes or no?
Yes.
He's thinner.
Oh, he's skinny. He's skinny.
He's thinner than Fassbender.
Fassbender's like built. He's ripped.
Fassbender's not built.
He looks
like an Ethiopian.
No, he does not.
He looks like he needs a sandwich.
Well, dude, the camera adds 10 pounds. Like, what do you want? He does look like he needs a sandwich, but so does every girl in Hollywood.
Did you guys see Haywire?
Yes, I did. I like that.
Now
that
the best scene
movie.
In that movie is when she beats the crap out of Fassbender. Right?
Well, no, I will agree with you that I had a hard time of believing Fassbender would take her in a fight because she was badass.
Right, but she—you know—she's like 145 pounds, 150.
Yeah, but she looks like she could kick some ass.
Yeah, but Bond, like,
I wouldn't get into a fight with her.
No, I'm talking about him. Like, screw her. Like,
he looks small.
I just can't. I look at the guy. I'm like, what? Like,
he's Magneto.
Yeah.
I like Fassbender. I think he's a good actor.
Fantastic actor.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can't see him in Bond. I just can't. I don't know why. I think I Craig. Craig is the smallest, I think, structure-wise, as you can go with one of the, like, Craig actually has muscle, where Fassbender looks like a fucking bird or something.
I think I gotta look at this other guy. We're sort of stuck here, though. Yeah, I think maybe, like, we are having a hard time imagining anybody.
No, I honestly can't think of anybody. I haven't thought about it.
Oh, an Asian British guy.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know.
Like anybody. A Malaysian British
guy. No, man, come on. I just try to think of, like, somebody British that I can't... Or it doesn't have to be British, because at this point...
What about Robert Pattinson? Being,
oh, God.
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm just throwing that out.
Oh,
what
Jesus.
About Kristen Stewart?
Jesus Christ.
Bale is Scottish. He would not work.
Bale... Well, he's already done Batman. I can't think of anyone. I can't... Yeah. I honestly haven't put that much thought into it.
What's your choice? I have to...
Arthur Darvill.
You're not going to... You're going to look
from
at the
what?
New
from
Doctor Who.
From Doctor Who.
Which you should be watching, by the way. Yeah, you should watch Doctor Who. Doctor Who's on Netflix.
It's just my casting, but that's.
I mean, I'm not like again it if he'll get on the treadmill and like pump some iron.
I think Fassbender has to do the same thing. Fassbender should gain like 15 pounds.
Well,
of muscle
I think well you know a lot of these Hollywood guys they're like our height.
But is
they,
the appeal
you know,
with
they,
Fassbender that he looks? Like a starving person?
No, dude.
I mean,
he's a good looking guy.
He's a good actor.
He's ripped.
Really?
That's
right.
He's
ripped. I don't believe
it. And he is a good actor.
And he's a good actor.
It's his intensity. His
really
appeal, his appeal is his intensity.
Well, what's the movie where he had his cock out that everyone's getting all excited about?
Why is that exciting? That's what I don't get.
Apparently, he's very well endowed. That's all they're saying.
They always do that for the movies, though. Mark Wahlberg got that same...
No, his was fake. This guy's is apparently real.
Real
just like
penis.
Liam Neeson, according to Kevin Smith and all those guys. Haven't you ever listened to the Kevin Smith Hollywood podcast?
No.
Him and... Oh, they do this whole segment where it's like Liam Neeson's cock and... Right. Every week they have people mailing jokes about Liam Neeson's cock.
It's always difficult with Bond because the studio is always going to balance out, you know, the shock value or... But then you do have to follow in some of the tradition that's set up by the thing.
Yeah.
So there's always going to be that dichotomy and...
Like the Idris Elba thing, just give him his own thing. Just give him
why?
Like
he's
I was
black.
No,
is
yeah,
that why?
I don't think he
really?
Fits the history
black.
Of the character.
Give him something else.
No, if he
Come
can
on.
Play it as Guardian, I was fine with that. I didn't give a crap about that.
Yeah.
Like whatever, Asgard, they're gods. There'll be different nationalities. You know, who cares? But I'm just saying, like James Bond, like has a history. If it was Batman, I would be fine. Like
really?
With a black Batman, just Bond just seems so aristocratic.
Yeah.
Like whereas Batman is not. An aristocrat. It's like a rich family.
Right.
They've had a history. Whatever.
So
it would
ruin all the other Bond movies.
No, not at all. The Clone Wars, the Star Wars movies ruined all the other Star Wars movies. that would not ruin all the. I got nothing against Idris Elba. He's
right.
awesome.
He's
great
awesome.
In Prometheus, and
sure.
he's great in the. And I still got to watch Luther, which I have not seen.
Oh.
That show is supposed to be awesome.
He is an amazing force in Luther.
Yeah, I gotta rev that up on the Netflix.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of mid-level Brit actors you could pull from stage
Absolutely.
Or wherever.
I'm sure. I'm sure there's somebody that's shown up on Doctor Who that I would, you know. Like.
I would say the next Bond is probably 90% likely to have appeared on a Doctor Who episode.
Wow.
Yeah, just like every other British actor. It's like that's what's great about that show. You get these people, and you're like, what? They're on Doctor What? This is crazy. Well, what's his face? Timothy Dalton. He was on a Doctor Who.
That's right.
There you go. Well, I don't know. I can't, honestly, I can't. Daniel Radcliffe. How's that?
Oh, wow.
That's
wow.
what I was
That's
thinking I was talking
That's
about before.
Spin.
Harry Potter
yeah.
and James Bond. No, I have no idea. That's it for me. So
okay.
I don't know. But Skyfall's good. I'm not going to, you know,
yeah.
it's fine.
I saw it in IMAX and. Loved it.
I saw it at the ArcLight, and it was
yeah.
huge, and it was great. So,
oh, what's nice though is that it really was. It did deliver on being a good time
yeah.
at the movies, which unfortunately not a lot of action movies
yeah.
always do. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was good. It was definitely good. But to me it's a little bit of a disappointment. Not on the scale of the last Dark Knight movie where I came out and I was just like, I can't stand this. I wash my hands of it. I don't like it at all. But this, I really, I want, like I said, I want to see it again because I do like I do like going to movies and then getting sort of the first impression. And sometimes if it disappoints me, like sitting with it and then being like, okay, let me go back to that. Because obviously I know it was really well made. Mm. And, you know, and even with movies I like, it's like if I go and I see it the first time, sometimes I like to go see it again because I was like, sure. Wow, I really liked it. And, you know, so anyway, obviously highly recommend. Everybody that's seen it has already seen it. We're a month late, whatever, but it's part-time fanboy. So there you go. All right. So I think that's it, right?
Cool.
All right. We are part-time fanboy. Thanks for checking us out. Bye.
Bye.